Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ancient Egyptian Economics by Muwatta Ashby is a nonfiction spiritual and philosophical work that treats economics as a moral and civilizational question rather than a purely technical one. Drawing on Kemetic or ancient Egyptian ideas, the book argues that money, saving, investing, and social organization should be understood through the ethical principle of Maat, the order and balance that governed ideal life in ancient Egypt. Instead of presenting finance as a neutral market activity, it frames economic behavior as part of a larger duty to sustain the well-being of the people and preserve social harmony. The book is aimed at readers interested in African-centered philosophy, spiritual development, and alternative views of wealth and governance. It also connects ancient concepts to modern concerns such as poverty, economic injustice, and social decline, making it both a cultural interpretation and a critique of contemporary economic systems. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Maat is the ethical foundation of economic life. The central idea of the book is that ancient Egyptian economics cannot be separated from Maat, the principle of truth, balance, justice, and right order. Ashby presents Maat as the standard by which financial decisions, public policy, and social relations should be judged. In this view, wealth is not valuable because it accumulates for its own sake, but because it supports a stable and humane society that shifts economics away from abstract profit calculation and toward ethical responsibility. The book uses this framework to argue that a civilization becomes durable when its material systems are aligned with moral discipline. This is one of the book's most distinctive positions because it treats economy as an extension of spiritual and ethical life, not a separate field governed only by self-interest or competition. For readers, the implication is that financial systems should be evaluated by the quality of life they produce, the fairness they preserve, and the degree to which they sustain collective order rather than distortion or excess. Secondly, the pharaoh and the people as a model of guided stewardship. Ashby describes the pharaoh, or Heka, as a steward who functions like a shepherd, while the people are the Heket, the flock whose welfare must be protected. This metaphor is used to explain an ideal form of governance in which authority is measured by service rather than domination. Economic power, in the book's account, is not meant to enrich rulers at the expense of society, but to organize resources so that communal well-being is maintained. That makes government an active moral agent in economic life, responsible for preventing exploitation and preserving equity. The book therefore presents ancient Egyptian society as structured around guided stewardship, where leadership has a duty to restrain abuse and keep wealth in circulation for the benefit of the whole civilization. This topic matters because it links political authority to economic ethics, showing that public administration and financial policy are inseparable in the Kemetic model. It also helps explain why the book criticizes systems that allow wealth concentration without social responsibility. Thirdly, a critique of market economies, fiat money, and economic fraud. Another major theme is the book's sharp contrast between righteous economics and modern systems that it sees as encouraging fraud or imbalance. Ashby argues that market economies and fiat currencies often reward manipulation, speculation, and inequality rather than social health. The criticism is not simply that these systems are modern, but that they are ethically detached from the principles that should govern a stable civilization. In the book's framework, money becomes dangerous when it is treated as an end in itself or when it loses its link to real communal welfare. The point is not to reject exchange or value systems entirely, but to challenge the moral assumptions behind contemporary capitalism and monetary practice by placing fraud, excess, and artificial scarcity at the center of the critique. The book asks readers to consider whether an economic system can truly be prosperous if it regularly produces insecurity and moral damage. This is a key analytical dimension because it turns ancient Egyptian economics into a lens for evaluating modern institutions, not just an antiquarian study of the past. Fourthly, saving and investing as disciplines of body, mind, and soul. The subtitle of the book signals a broader understanding of wealth. Saving and investing are not limited to financial accumulation, but are connected to bodily, mental, and spiritual development. Ashby presents prosperity as multidimensional, meaning that true wealth includes health, insight, self-discipline, and inner harmony alongside material resources. This expands the conventional meaning of investment by suggesting that people should invest in personal balance, education, and spiritual refinement, as well as economic assets. The practical implication is that financial prudence is tied to character formation and long-term stability. In this model, wastefulness, confusion, and unchecked desire weaken both the individual and the society. The book thus offers a holistic economics in which the management of resources reflects the management of consciousness. That perspective differentiates it from mainstream personal finance books because it does not treat money as a purely technical object. Instead, it interprets financial habits as part of a larger process of building civilization through disciplined living and integrated self-cultivation. Lastly, applying ancient principles to modern poverty, prisons, and collapse. The book also attempts to connect ancient Egyptian economic thought to present-day social problems. It discusses poverty as a condition that generates anger, unethical behavior, and social decay, which makes economics a matter of prevention as much as distribution. The critique of the prison industrial complex follows from this logic: systems that profit from deprivation are treated as morally destructive because they intensify the very instability they claim to manage. Ashby also extends the discussion to survival in a possible economic collapse, suggesting that Mott-based principles can remain relevant under modern pressure. This makes the book more than a historical interpretation. It is also a framework for resilience. Readers are encouraged to think about what ethical economic behavior looks like in environments where communities are fragmented or where institutions fail. The practical value lies in its insistence that individuals can still apply principles of order, restraint, and responsible stewardship even without a large supportive community. That gives the book a contemporary edge while keeping its core rooted in African philosophical tradition. In conclusion, Ancient Egyptian Economics is best suited for readers interested in African philosophy, alternative economic thought, spiritual ethics, and civilizational history. It will appeal especially to those who want more than a conventional finance or self-help book and are open to a framework in which money is judged by moral purpose rather than only by efficiency or return. The book offers intellectual value by recasting economics through Mott, linking governance, wealth, and social responsibility in a single system of thought. It also has practical relevance for readers looking for a value-based approach to saving, investing, and navigating unstable economic conditions. What makes it stand out in its category is its unusual combination of comedic spirituality, cultural restoration, and economic critique. Rather than separating material life from spiritual development, it argues that prosperity, justice, and inner discipline belong together. For readers seeking a non-Western philosophical perspective on economics, this book provides a distinctive and coherent alternative that is both interpretive and normative. If you would like to support Muwatta Ashby, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.